What's going on, everybody? I'm Mara.
And I'm Tez.
And welcome back to Sisters Who Kill. You know, they say that we have thousands of thoughts per day. Some are good thoughts, some are bad thoughts. Some are trying to come up with solutions for our own problems, and some are trying to come up with the solution for others. But not every thought should be followed through with action.
Our players this week are Tony Abad, our victim, Jared Kemp, accomplice, and Deasia's boyfriend, and Deasia Page, our murderess.
Deasia Ramique Page was born in 1999, and she was described as a sweet and shy teenager. She had her best girlfriends always around her, Erica and Tonia. And they said that Deasia was the type of girl that she was very quiet, she was very shy, she was very reserved, at least it seemed that way, because once you actually started talking to her, like, the girl was bubbly, she was fun, she was a chatterbox. It kind of reminds me of you, like, you won't talk to nobody, and it's not like you're being mean. You won't talk to anybody until they talk to you first. And then when they start talking to you, they're like, wow, this girl talks a lot. She's so cool.
Yeah. When it was like, she doesn't speak unless spoken to, I said, ooh, that's me.
And me, I'm the type of person that's like, hi, I'm Mara. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, hey.
Right. And I'm just like, let me find ways to grab Taz into this conversation, because she will stand here politely and quietly. But anyways, her and her good Judies, they called themselves the Three Musketeers because they were always together. They was always laughing. They was always spilling the tea. They was always joking around. And in high school, you know, the relationship with her mom was pretty rough. It was rough, like teenagers with their moms.
I didn't realize her relationship with her mom was tough.
They said that her mom went back and forth, and then, like, this boyfriend ignited it even more.
I thought she was good up until she met Tess.
That's what it was giving, but I could just be putting my own personal, like, trauma on her. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But yeah. Anyways, it doesn't matter because she found herself a boo, a man, and his name was Jared Kemp.
Kemp sounds like a troublesome last name, man.
Yeah, especially in the state of Georgia, it does.
That's why I heard it. And I'm like, no, that's Ed Kemper. Kemp is just so not giving me the warm and fuzzies. Jared Kemp grew up in Fairburn. He was born in 1999, came from a good family. He's your average little teenage boy. He had pretty eyes. Eyes don't make a whole person. It's a nice feature, but eyes.
It do when you're like 17, 18. They be like, oh, he got pretty eyes.
And that'd be all it take. And I'd be like, but do you see everything else? Teeth is jet.
I just be getting
that
lost
short.
In the eyes. He ain't got nothing going for him.
But his eyes show was pretty. He entered military school with the intentions of going into the Coast Guard. He meets Deasia and they fell. The heads, they were over the hills. They was in deep. In like 2 weeks of dating, Deasia telling her friends, oh my God, I love him. But it was like, girl, you love him. You just met this nigga. And she was like, I don't understand. When you know, okay? I never had a love like this before. That's what she was telling her friends.
Love like this before. Because you're 18. But here's the thing, like,
very much that.
I think also her friends probably could have been like, okay, girl, whatever you say. Because as somebody that always tells their friends that they're in love, most of my friends would be like, okay, here we go again.
I can't argue her down. How I'm going to tell her she not in love?
She in love. I'm not at all in love. Not at all in love. Not I.
Then she's like, I don't understand. Like, this nigga is charming as hell. It's the eyes, man. I'm telling you, I just get lost in the eyes. I get lost in the eyes. But to the friends, Jared lost his charm very quickly. See, Jared was calling Deasia all types of bitches and hoes. And they ain't like that. Girl, you can't let him talk to you like that. You ain't no bitch. Don't ever let nobody call you out your name. And then you do it in front of people. You ain't got no shame about it. You let me, her best friend, hear you call her a bitch. And you're okay with that? And you're okay with that?
How?
And even when her friends are, like, trying to step up for her, she's like, y'all chill, chill. You just playing. Or, you know, I do be kind of annoying sometimes. Like, it's okay. Her girls was like, I'm seeing too many red flags. De'Asia, I'm seeing too many red flags. But De'Asia don't see them. She don't see them.
She said, is this a parade?
You know what I'm saying? Everybody waving their flags. But I thought that was just a little signal to keep on going. Next lap. You know,
is this a party? Yes.
But the friends, you know, they continue to try and look out for her. But it seems like the more they expressed their disdain for Jared, the closer De'Asia and Jared became and the more distant De'Asia came with her friends. Now, all of a sudden, she's talking about, I'm grown. I can do what I want. I love Jared.
I love him.
I love being in love with Jared.
This my man.
Right. And if y'all can't get with that, then I can't get with y'all. Because he gonna always stand beside me. Are y'all gonna keep me warm at night?
Y'all bitches not doing the three F's, okay? Feeding, fucking, or financing me. You're not doing,
you know what
it.
I'm saying?
I love you, though.
This ain't y'all department. You wouldn't understand.
Exactly. And she also had that same attitude when her mom was trying to tell her the same thing. Her mom was like, hey, don't like this Jared guy. Don't like what he's about. Red flags. And she was like, mama, you need to relax, okay? Because this man loves me. Do you see the parade? She started getting real, like, snippy with her mom more than usual. Like, of course, there's teenage girls and their mom snippy and back and forth. But this is a whole different level for De'Asia's mom. And De'Asia's mom is like, listen, little girl, sit down. Listen, you have two choices. You can either leave that little ugly behind, light eyes, snot-nosed boy alone, or you can get out of my house. And De'Asia said, well, I guess I'm going to get out the house. And she packs herself a bag and she hits the road, Jack.
And her mama said, and don't come back no more.
Hit the road, Jack. And she was like, bet. I don't really have no problems with doing this anyways. She goes up to the school and she's like, hey, I'm dropping out. And they're like, you're dropping out? She's like, yes, I'm dropping out. I don't want to be in school anymore. At this point, she was old enough to drop out on her own, which, like, her counselor was interviewed later for, like, the Snapped episode. And in my mind, like, that was the counselor's time to shine, and you didn't.
What'd you want her to do? What didn't she do?
Okay, she's dropping out on her own, which she is allowed to do. Where are you staying? But at no point when she was like, oh, I'm withdrawing. Okay, let's have a conversation. Where are you going? What are your plans? Okay, well, how does your mom feel about this? Oh, you and your mom aren't getting along? But at that point, you're still a high school student, so you are in the care of someone, which is your counselors and your teachers. And no one said, let's look into this to make sure that you're not homeless on the street. Oh, you are. Maybe there are other options. That's just me. That's just my thought process going through it.
Right.
Anywho, De'Asia is out on the street because Jared lives at home with his mama. And Jared's mama was not letting De'Asia come and live at her house.
I think the fuck not.
So De'Asia was actually on the street. And so, you know, while she was roaming the streets at night, she was usually always seen in her black coat. And it was like one of those black puffer coats with the fur on the hood. It was very popular in Atlanta for a long time. And she would spend a lot of time in this area that had a Sonic, it had a Publix, it had like a Texaco around there. And the reason that people knew her because she was always like up at the Sonic asking folks for their money, walking up on folks' cars and shit, asking them for money, which I do not like. Not while I'm at a Sonic, you know, like people supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like you're supposed to be in the drive-through, like, or she would always be at the Texaco. Sometimes she would have like a blanket around her. Like at this point, it's December. Like it is actually winter. And One of the guys at the Texaco, one of the security guards, sees her, and she seems like a nice enough girl. And, you know, she says that she's homeless and she just is looking for a place to stay. So he was like, you know, during my shift, if you want to, you can sleep in my car. And while I do my shift, you can just chill out in my car and we'll be good. She's like, okay. And this is like a routine that she has for a while. She knew that if she needed just a warm place to thaw out, she could go and the security guard would let her sit in his car, which is a sweet deal. And then, of course, when his shift is over, she'd have to find some place to go. She'd always be wandering around. And, of course, she's always in constant contact with her man, Jared. And I'm sure he's like, yeah, baby, times is hard, but I'm going to figure out a way, boo.
Right.
Time to figure out how to provide for my mama house for you.
Right. I'ma be warm, you know. I ain't gonna be out in the streets with you. We not gonna thug it together, because, you know, why should we both suffer? But I'ma figure something out.
We gonna make sure you good.
Yeah. Deasia is really out here. No place to stay. No place to call home. Just a regular car to get warm in. And some places to hang out through the day while asking for food and money and whatnot. She don't got a job. Who knows if Jared has a job? She just out here. Like Jared said, a man of his word comes up with a plan. Figure something out. He's like, all right, so check this. Got you this. He gives her an airsoft gun. There you go. You gonna hold on to that. Then she's like, what I need this for? And he was like, check it. You know how you be hanging around at the stores all late night shit. This time, you gonna follow somebody out. Like, towards the end of the day, so don't nobody really see you. But, like, when they locking up and shit, ask somebody for a ride home, right? And she was like, but I don't got no home. Shh, you gotta let me get to that part. And he was like, you gonna pull up to this address and write it down for you. You gonna pull up over here. We gonna jack her for her car. And boom. Now you don't have to beg no nigga for a place to sleep. You got
your own car to sleep in, boo.
Got you.
What a plan. I feel like he really put a lot of brain power into that too.
I'ma make sure you can protect yourself. Here go your gun. I'ma handle shit from my end. It's gonna work out perfect. It's 4 days before Christmas, 2017. It's about 11:30 PM. It's cold as hell. There's two Publix workers. They're leaving the store late night. They tired. Everybody just in the grocery store. You know, they start to linger around the Christmas time because y'all be closed on Christmas and I need all my ingredients. I don't care if I got to go to the store 3-4 times before Christmas Day. I'm going to get this food. You know, Deasia follows her plan and she waits for some of the last people to come out. And it's this woman, one of the co-workers at Publix, and the Publix deli manager, Miss Toni Talbert Abbott. Toni was born in 1959. She is a native to Georgia. She was known for her southern charm. She had her first child, a son, at 15. His name was Mike. And Mike, you know, said that his mom definitely loved him. And it's like they grew up together. They were very close. Only 15 years apart. They could be siblings in a different life, you know. But he said she always did her best for him. She does go on to get married to a different man than Mike's father. His name was Timothy Abbott. She marries him at 18. And with him, she goes on to have 3 more boys. Timothy Abbott Jr., Taylor Abbott, and Trey Abbott.
A house full of boys.
Whew. She enjoyed her marriage while it lasted, but it did not last. And she wound up being a divorced mother of 4 sons and a grandmother of 5 grandkids. Her son, Mike, her oldest son, says that people were just drawn to her. It was like you could tell that people cared a lot about her, and the feeling was mutual. There's this gas station down the street from Laney, and there's this cashier that works there. And I don't think either one of them know each other's name. Laney goes in and says, hey, friend. And she's like, hey, girl, how you doing? Ask about the kids, all that. I don't think either one of them know each other's name. But you could tell they care, you know?
I love those beautiful relationships. I'm bad at names anyways. Like, I know everything about you except for your name. I'm good.
Right.
And I know you're going to be kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm going to be kind to you.
Mm-hmm. Her sister Tammy, you know, said she had a great smile, bright eyes, and that's what drew the people in and made them feel comfortable. She had that trust and face. For the most part, she loved her job as the deli manager at Publix. The employees consider her to be the mom of the department. We know those types. You just always gonna make sure everybody's good every time you're around them, you know, no matter the circumstance. Those are the type, you know, that are also kind to strangers. You know, you don't have to know her to feel her kindness that she gives out to people. It's just something that just comes with contact with her. It's December, of course. The holidays are coming, and Toni's very much looking forward to being with her family. She's got a new granddaughter. Like, she's excited to go see the kids. She can't wait until her Christmas break. Just counting down the days.
So Toni is coming out after leaving her public shift. It's about 11:30 PM. And while she's walking out, she is approached by Deasia. She doesn't even know who Deasia is. Actually, if you look at the surveillance tape, Toni and the other lady walked out to their car, walked right past Deasia, and Deasia almost didn't approach her, but then worked up the nerve to approach her, and she asked for a ride. And Tony says yes. I mean, her heart kind of goes out to this girl. She's clearly very cold. She's clearly very young. It's late at night. It's Christmas time. It's not, no one should be out late. And she's just saying that she needs a ride home. Of course, Tony is willing to give it. And even her coworker was like, you sure, girl? She's like, yeah, it's fine.
Don't you know that's that begging ass girl to be out here every day?
That's what I would be like, friend, are you sure? I don't want to block nobody blessing. But anyways, they get in the car and they're riding. Now, 10 minutes into the car ride, De'Asia calls Jared. She's like, oh, hey, babe, I'm going to be there soon. And Jared's like, okay, that's great. Go ahead and stay on the phone. And so they pull up to Church Street. Now, when they turn down Church Street, Tony kind of slows down because she says, oh, you know, where we're pulling up is kind of over here. And then Tony is driving the car. She's looking around. And then she looks to her right and she looks over at De'Asia. And De'Asia has a gun pointed at her. Now, Tony did not know that this was an airsoft gun, that it wasn't a real gun. But in her mind, there is a gun pointed at her. So she starts basically wrestling De'Asia for the gun. Now, it seemed like Miss Tony had a little bit of strength in her because De'Asia was spooked. She wasn't expecting Tony to actually like fight her back. Then out of nowhere, at this point, the car is like stopped. Out of nowhere, boom, the driver's side window where Miss Tony is driving is bust in. Tony doesn't know what it is. It's Jared with a baseball bat. Now at this point, De'Asia gets out of the car. She starts running and gets through the passenger side, and Miss Tony is fighting for her life while this man is attacking her with the bat. So she crawls through the passenger side and out the car, like out the car, I guess, facing the side street. From there, Tony is crawling. Jared comes around and starts hitting her with the baseball bat over and over again. And De'Asia is not directly watching, but she is watching that baseball bat go up and down over and over while Tony is screaming out in pain. I mean, she's screaming like, it's Christmas. I just want to be my grandkids. Stop. Who are you? What do you want? And she's begging for her life, but Jared is not hearing that. He just keeps beating her until finally she stops talking. And he says, De'Asia, get your ass over here. Come pick this woman up. Let's go put her in the trunk. And that's what they do. De'Asia grabs Miss Tony by her hands and Jared grabs Miss Tony by her feet. They pop the trunk and they throw her in. I don't know. I guess they weren't expecting that to happen because they see her phone there and they're like, all right, let's just chuck it. He just chucks the phone into the woods where they were at. And he says, all right, De'Asia, go take this car, get it cleaned up and dump it somewhere, okay? And I don't want to hear nothing else about it. And so that's what she did, kind of. It was a really, I mean, the cleaning didn't really happen, but she takes the car, she drives it, and she leaves it in a service street right behind a Waffle House. And she just starts to walk away from the car. And throughout this entire time, this is the same evening that all this is happening, she's flustered. She's not sure what's really happening right now. And it's okay because Jared is texting her, FaceTiming her. Baby, it's okay, boo. I got you. I said I got you when I mean it.
I thought I meant that shit, girl.
We bonded.
De'Asia was not prepared. She was not prepared at all for a murder. We said carjacking. We did not say murder, okay? So she's a bit hysterical right now. She's currently...
I'm still homeless.
Still homeless.
I'm supposed to not be homeless anymore.
Hysterical, homeless, and cold. Because now you done made my house. Well, it was supposed to be my new house, a crime scene. And not no petty crime like we planned. Somebody died? You gonna kill somebody in my new home? She's dumping her bloody clothes along the way. And she comes up on her security guard friend. She's like, Mr. Sir, oh my God. This woman, she died. She was killed. There was a bat. And he was like, huh? And she was like, killed her. She's dead. He was like, this must be why this little girl's homeless. Because she's on drugs.
She off a rocker, ain't it?
You know what I mean? Ain't making no sense. And so, you know, Jared is texting her this whole time. They've been on the phone talking and shit. You know, baby, it's us against the world. We got this. You know, I'm going to hold you down. Don't let this get to you. It ain't no thing. It ain't no thing, right? So it's December 22nd of 2017, one day later. And the police are dispatched to the Waffle House in the area. Somebody reported a suspicious car And this car had the driver's side window broken into. Glass all over the driver's side seat. On the ground of the parking lot. Just busted. Officer gets there. He sees all this broken glass. He also sees the car keys just sitting there in the front seat. Like, right there in the front seat. Don't have to start. Not under the front seat. Not on the floor. Not beside it. But right there on the front seat. He calls 911 communication lines. Has them run the license plate. Said maybe this is a stolen vehicle and the person just abandoned it. And they's like, okay, the vehicle is registered to Tony Abad. So it was like, okay, we got a number here listed. Let's try it. They ring. Ain't nobody answer. All right. We'll stay here and see what else we can find. They searching through the car, looking for some clues, looking for some clues. And then he starts to notice, is that blood? Along the driver's side? He's like, I mean, it's not no crazy amount of blood, but it could be blood. He's like, let me see if I can get this trunk open. Goes to the trunk, opens it, and he was like, whoa, it's a body in there. So detectives open his trunk. They find an elderly old woman in this car. And they put Detective Nikita Moss and Detective Kevin Liam Patcher on the case. This is South Fulton County Police. Crime scene unit is called to the scene. They're there within minutes, ready to do their job. And they're like, oh, man, this woman has had significant trauma. Hella bruises to her face, to her head. Looks like she's wearing some type of uniform. They're like, if I had to guess, that green apron is saying Publix. So they're like, okay, she must work at Publix. And if we dig a little deeper, she uniform's got a name tag on it. I think her name's Tony. And they're like, shit, Tony? They run them fingerprints, and it's confirmed. It sure is Tony. So now they're like,
is that, okay, that they had a rapid fingerprint scanner, which I think is the first time I've ever heard of one.
Right.
I was like, they brought it to the crime scene. Yeah.
I was like, okay. Y'all trying to catch me quick, huh? Could you imagine being pulled over and be like, let me just scan your fingerprints real quick? Hell no.
Sir, I don't think that I consent to this. Something feels like I'm allowed to decline.
Yeah, and I'm going to decline your right to leave and arrest you and put you in the back of that car. Whew.
Call your lawyer.
Tell you. So they're pretty certain that this is Tony Abbott. And they continue their investigation and they're like, okay, this actually is a lot of blood on the inside of the trunk. And that's leading them to believe that she must have been put in there while she was still alive. And they're also realizing, you know, this trauma to her face, to her head, the blood in the trunk. Is however she died, it was brutal. It was rough. She did not go easy. She did not pass in her sleep through the night. You know, that it's obvious.
We all know that there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You know, sometimes you have to work the budget with a little finesse. Sometimes you and your partner are trying to come to a conclusion and there's a little give and take. But when it comes to your health, there should be no compromise. So don't go back to that doctor that made you feel weird and the waiting room was all disgusting and the nurse was really mean. And don't go back to just not going to the doctor at all. Instead, check out ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, who will listen to you, who will prioritize your health. And you will know that because there are real reviews from real people that booked with ZocDoc. So there is literally no compromise here because with ZocDoc, you have all the options that you need. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know, my birthday is coming up and I always do my yearly things around my birthday because that helps me remember. So I have used ZocDoc and I have set a whole bunch of appointments so that I can make sure that I am in tip-top shape as I go into year 30. And you should make sure that you're in tip-top shape too. Go to ZocDoc.com/SWK and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/SWK. ZocDoc.com/SWK. Do you know what is the best way to learn a language? Immersion. But going and moving to a country that speaks the language that you want to learn may not be in the cards this year. So you're probably wondering, well, what's the second best way? And I'll tell you, it is with Babbel. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in less than 3 weeks. I actually love Babbel. I enjoy the fact that it still feels like I'm learning. It doesn't feel like a game, even if there are games in between. I love that there are podcasts where I can listen and learn and hear the language in real time. So if you are trying to learn a new language, I have a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but listen, it is only for our listeners at babbel.com/SWK. You can get up to 60% off at babbel.com/SWK, spelled BABBEL.com/SWK. Rules and restrictions may apply.
See, brutal, but it also, you know, makes you realize that this woman probably could have been saved, or at least somebody could have attempted to save her life,
right?
Because she was beaten and then she was stuffed in the trunk, wasn't taken nowhere, she was just left in the trunk. If only they had left her in the open, you know, maybe still in the front seat of the car since they didn't take the car.
Or maybe if she dropped the car off at a hospital.
You know what I'm saying? If they left the trunk open or did anything to try and save her life, anything to try and give her a chance, she could have still been here today. Possibly. Right. We'll never know. But they're also like, it's not giving that this is the place where she's attacked. Like, yes, we see the broken glass on the ground, but I mean, they could have just added that later, but where's all the blood? There's a lot of blood in this trunk. Where's the rest of it? You know, where was she beaten at?
Right.
And they're like, and why is she beaten? They're looking on her person. She's got her ID. She's got her wallet. They left the car with the keys. She's just the old lady who worked at Publix. Like, what could she have possibly done to somebody? What is the motive here? The only thing that was missing from Tony was her cell phone. They ping the cell phone and they find it 5 miles away on Church Street. Along with this phone, they find some blood and they find some broken glass. And I said, I think this might be where it all went down.
They sure did. And from there, they contacted Tony's family and they informed Tony's family about her demise. What's really sad is her oldest son, I believe, was like, okay, well, do you need me to come down and ID the body? What do you need? Because I'm sure that your first thought is like, let me come ID the body because it may not be her. Because y'all not talking about my mama.
Right, very hopeful.
Right. And so, and they were like, sir, we actually don't need you to come ID the body. We did the rapid finger scan and it is 100% her, which is like, whew. With the phone that they have and the crime scene, they are going to test and make sure that the blood that they found was indeed Tony's. And while they're waiting for those results to come back, they decide that they're going to just swing by Publix, see if anyone has anything to say. And that coworker that she was walking out of the Publix with was like, absolutely, I have something to say. That homeless girl that always be around here, she asked her for a ride and Tony gave her a ride. So maybe you should look into that. And they said, okay, well, luckily Publix is the fancy grocery store. We know their security cameras are working. Mm-hmm. And they were. Just a reminder that Publix security cameras do work. Take that information and do what you will. So they look at the security cameras and they see DeAsia. They see her pacing back and forth in the store, kind of waiting outside. They see her almost not approach them, but then decide to approach them. They see that she's wearing headphones and they're trying to figure out who this girl is. Like, you and I, everybody listening, we know that it was DeAsia, but at this time they don't have a name. They don't really have a face because she has the hood. It's late at night. The tape is grainy. But they know that they're looking for someone. So they decide that they're going to take this grainy picture of this girl and canvass the area. Who knows anything? They say that she was homeless. Let's ask a couple businesses around. And the manager at Sonic's was like, as a matter of fact, that girl be around here all the time. She's always loitering me, threatening to call the police on her, blah, blah, blah. As a matter of fact, Her behind just left a bag here randomly, and I don't know why anybody thrown it away, but that's a different conversation for a different time. But this bag over here belongs to that girl. So the police are like, okay, great. They take the bag, they go through the bag, and wouldn't you know, there's an ID in the bag, and now they have a name, the name we all know, Miss DeAsia Page. So they look up DeAsia in the system, they see that her most recent address is her mama's house. They pull up at her mama's house. Her mama said, mm-mm, she don't live here. I don't know where to find her. She has been kicked out of this abode. They go to the school. The school's like, she's not enrolled. She doesn't go here. And so they were like, okay, well, where is DeAsia? So they at least have a name. They have evidence that this is the person that they're looking for. So they put out a bolo on her. And when they put her name and her face on the news, the security guard down at the Texaco was like, oh no.
Will I be damned?
I know that girl. Not wanted for carjacking and murder. She'd be in my car all the time.
Right.
So he decides. So what is happening?
I'm actually a little offended. So,
which I was wondering, like, you don't want to be mean to the person that's been so kind to you. Mm-hmm. So instead you find some random person and you ruin someone else's life. Yeah. All these thoughts that her and Jared were having was like, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Totally.
Just FYI, none of this makes sense. Ruining people's lives doesn't make sense. Where am I? So the security guard is like, she is here all the time. I let her sit in my car to warm up. As a matter of fact, just the other day, she came over here talking about somebody got murdered. She was just over here saying, oh my goodness, somebody was killed. I saw it with my own eyes. But honestly, I thought she was tripping. She homeless. I thought she was on drugs. I thought it was late at night. I thought she was just tripping.
I ain't even gonna hold you.
Now that I'm seeing that everybody's looking for her, maybe she was telling the truth. Maybe she did witness a murder and maybe y'all should go find her.
Yeah.
And the police are like, okay, let's go find her.
At the time they get back to the office, they got more tips, more sightings of DeAsia. Everybody done seen this girl around town. Still in heat, asking for food. But before they can follow up on any tips, they're like, oh my goodness, we have all these leads. Where do we start? DeAsia walks through the door and says, start with me. She walks into that Fulton County Police Department and she turns herself in and she says, I'd like to speak to a detective, please. Now they was like, that's that girl, because that's that same fur coat that was on the surveillance video. That's exactly who he was looking for.
I said, come on in.
Right.
Take a load off.
Get warm. You want some coffee?
Can I get you a cup of coffee?
Right. Warm you up. Sandwich? Got you. They sit her down and they begin their interview. Now, DeAsia, you know, she's talking to the officers and she's like, well, you see, I was just out late and I seen this lady coming out of Publix and I just asked her for a ride. And I was like, when was this? On December 21st. And it was like, okay, and where'd you get a ride to? Oh, just down to the Texaco gas station. A little home away from home. DeAsia goes on to tell the story. She was like, yeah, so the lady's driving me down to the Texaco, and then these two men come from nowhere, and they ambush us. And we're like, two men? Yeah, two black men. They just start attacking the vehicle. What do you mean attacking? They're like smashing the windows with a bat and all of that. And they're like, okay, and then what happened? She said, then the lady tries to just run. They're like, yeah, but then she fell. And then they started beating her with a bat. And it was like, they both beat her with a bat? Well, no, not both of them. The other guy, he ran away. And I was like, okay. And just left you there? So they didn't touch you. Well, what they did do was after they finished beating her, they threatened me and told me to help. And I was like, what? I mean, this lady was laying on the ground. She can't breathe. She can't move. I mean, she was dead, looked like. And then he told me that I had to help him dump the body or else he was going to beat me like he beat her. And it was like, but why did he beat her? What do you mean? And it was like, he didn't attack you. He just beat her. Like, what makes her the subject of it all? Well, I don't know. And so he didn't hurt you. No, but he threatened to kill me if I didn't help. And it's like, okay, so then what'd you do? So then we put her body in a trunk and we drove it to this, you know, secluded area. teachers are like, it's a weak ass story. They're not buying it. I'm not buying it. Shit was sorry. So the detectives are like, listen, let's just say we take your word for all of this. Let's just say that this whack ass story is true. Girl, it's December 24th. You said this happened on December 21st. What took you 3 days to come down here after you saw a woman get beat and killed? For assumably no reason. And she was like, well, I don't know. So detectives leave the room. They was like, let's let her cook for a little bit. See if she get a little nervous. The bolo was already issued on DeAsia when she turned herself in. And it was going around town. And Jared sees it. So Jared figures he might as well get ahead of it. So he goes to the Chattahoochee Hills Police Department. And he says, I just want to, you know, talk about something that I knew had gone on and just kind of, you know, talk to somebody about it, right? He's over at this police department. Also kind of turning himself in, or more so separating himself from the crime. He goes in there and he was like, hey, so I see y'all looking for this girl, DeAsia. They was like, yeah, okay, you know where she's at? He's like, I don't know where she's at. I just want to let y'all know whatever she said that I did, I didn't do. And they was like, well, what did she say that you did? Well, I don't know. What do you think she's going to say that you did? I don't know, but just know she a liar. I ain't do none of it, okay? This is awfully suspicious.
I don't even hardly much know this girl.
And it was like, well, right. So he's like, who's DeAsia to you? I don't even really know her like that. You don't know this girl. You don't know what she's going to say about you, but whatever she says, don't believe her.
Correct.
You got it. They was like,
pleasure doing business with you, boys.
Right. They're like, sir, what is going on? He was like, well, you know, DeAsia, she just this crazy chick. Me and her, we went together for real. We talked for a little bit. But, like, when I say I don't know her, like, I don't know her like that, right? So, like, you know, she crazy. You just can't trust her. That's all I'm saying. So Chattahoochee Hills connects with South Fulton, who got DeAsia. They, you know, share the information. So detectives go back in and they talk to DeAsia and it was like, hey, you know, Jared? And she's like, Jared? Yeah, I know Jared. And it was like, okay, well, just got off the phone with Chattahoochee Hills police and Jared is down there. And she was like, yeah. And it was like, yeah. And it was like, she was like, okay, well, what do you say? He said, you're a liar. He said he had nothing to do with it and it was all you. And she said, what? They said, he said, whatever you tell us, don't believe you. Because you wouldn't know the truth if it smacked you in the face. She was like, my Jared said that? Like Jared Kemp? And I was like,
are you sure, officer?
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sure at this point she's boiling. Like,
you know what I mean? Like,
you left me out on the streets for weeks I left my mama house for you. Not letting, even sneaking me in, let me stay in your bed, sneaking me out in the morning, nothing. For you, for our love.
You came up with this plan to give me a car. We didn't get a car. Now I'm sitting here trying to cover for your ass, and you out here telling people I'm fucking crazy?
It's starting to feel like you don't love me, Jared.
It's starting to feel like you don't care. So she said, you know what? If you don't care, then nigga, I don't care either. She said, I would like to change my story. Oh, would you? She was like, yeah, I want to change my story. And it was like, okay, so tell us what happened. Well, what happened was I'm homeless because Jared asked, you know, my mama and my friends didn't like that I was seeing him and we couldn't be together peacefully. So, you know, I kind of left my mom's house and Jared's mom wouldn't let us stay with him. And Jared's mom wouldn't let me stay at her house. And so Jared said he was going to find a way for us to be together and to keep me warm at night. And so he came up with this plan that we was going to jack somebody's car. But he just gave me an airsoft pistol. Like, nobody's supposed to die. And then he goes out here and he pulls up on her car with the bat and he just starts beating her to death. Like, it was on some crazy shit. But it was his plan. I was just tired of being homeless, you know? Like, it's cold. And, you know, he sleeps in a house every night. I just wanted someplace warm to sleep at night, but he told me that he was going to hold me down. But now he's talking about it, he's not. And it wasn't even my plan to hurt her.
So I'm really confused.
You know? Like, I didn't even hit her, not once. All I did was put the body in the trunk. And I was like, man, that's still a crime. Like, what type of crime?
What kind of crime are we talking here?
Like an accessory to murder crime, ma'am.
Like murder.
What?
like you plan, it's giving first degree, like you planned a murder, and even though you may not have gotten your hands dirty, your hands are very dirty. It's giving disposing of a body. It's giving carjacking. It's giving aggravated assault. Oh, yeah.
It's giving felony murder.
It's giving a lot of things. Boo. Because you know that if you use a fake gun and pretend it's a real gun, it then becomes a crime. You know that, right? Oh, okay. Just making sure. Just making sure.
Just
turn around, hands behind your back. You're under arrest.
So detectives, you know, they're buying this story a lot more than the first one, but they still think that she's downplaying her role. You know, she just got this bad news about Jared. So she could very much be up in his part. It just, it's still seeming like a very much random act of violence. It's not making a whole bunch of sense.
Because also nothing was stolen.
Nothing is stolen. You say you went for a car, you abandoned the car.
Right.
This looks like a murder and nothing else. It doesn't look like a murder robbery. It doesn't look like a murder car theft. Like, it's not giving any, it's giving murder and murder.
And murder only. For no reason.
For no reason.
It's giving you thought you were doing some Grand Theft Auto and you thought this was going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they arrested her, obviously, on Christmas Eve. They don't even have the Christmas. You know how, like, in jail, they'll try to make the holidays festive, so they'll make little Christmas gifts for everybody. You ain't even got one with your name on it in jail because you came in on Christmas Eve.
What a sad Christmas.
You know, and then imagine on Christmas Day and like the days that everybody's with their family, it's on Facebook that you in jail,
girl,
for murder.
Girl.
Her friends, her three musketeers, they were like, oh my goodness, this is not what I was expecting from her.
Right. And who you gonna call? Your mama. I'd have been like, really? That's what you decide to do? You've been at my house, two weeks? That's what we do now?
It is very... You need to memorize important numbers. All right, friends? Memorize important numbers. If you know you got your top five people that you're going to call in an emergency, those numbers need to be in your head.
Yeah, and these generations are bad about it. Like, the
don't
closer,
do something stupid
the further
and get
away
arrested,
you were from a house phone, the less you remember numbers.
Don't do nothing stupid and... your phone dead and you arrested. How you gonna call somebody then?
You gotta think. Because sometimes your mama ain't always the person you want to call. You need to have, like, at least three numbers, you know?
If it's driving with a suspended license, it's gonna be a different person I call if I'm arrested for driving with a suspended license versus if I get arrested for murder. You gotta know who to call. Mm-hmm. Every situation doesn't need everybody. You need about five people whose numbers you have out back to back. Anywho, if you got kids, they need to be memorizing your numbers right now. I still think they teach that in pre-K. I hope they do. Like your emergency information. Why is it? Now, when Jared had his interview, he was let go because they didn't have anything on him for real. And he just came in to say that he ain't do nothing. But they found out that he did do something. So they were going to find Jared. Deasia's in jail. They go to Jared's mama's house. Jared's mama's like, I don't know where Jared is. And they're like, okay, man, we have a search warrant for this place anyway. So go ahead and step aside. And they look for Jared. Can't find him. Finally, they figure out that Jared is at his cousin's apartment. And he was arrested that same day, Christmas Eve, without incident. And when they arrested him, they were like, all right, Jared, we obviously have a reason to have you. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us? And he is like, nope. They were like, you know, we got Deasia too. And he said, like I said before, barely know her. And they said,
who is she? I don't know.
They're like, well, you know, we've got your phone. And crazy enough, this girl that you hardly know like that, it seems like the night of this murder, y'all was on the phone for like a minimum of 6 hours, given all the FaceTimes, phone calls, the durations. Like, y'all was on the phone for quite a while. Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with some free samples. Y'all, when we got our samples, I gave them straight to Taz because my girl has allergies.
I'm talking about that. Hey, y'all, how y'all doing? Type of allergies.
So then when I heard about AstroPro, I asked her, I said, have you heard about AstroPro? And my girl was like, no. And I was like, it's faster, bro.
So she gives me the samples and I try it and I'm like, You know what? This is better. Astropro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It started working in 30 minutes while all the other allergy sprays take hours.
Astropro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astropro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy noses, and sneezing. And if your best friend is always suffering with allergies, just like my best friend is always suffering with allergies, why don't you get them some Astropro? Because it makes my girl sound so much better. Get your fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astropro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astropro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O Allergy.com. You can just AstroPro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
So, I'm just saying, like,
and like 6.5 hours, quite a while.
I'm a nobody, but even when I talk to people I haven't talked to in a while and I hang up and call back, I still wouldn't be on the phone with them for 6 hours. Not somebody I don't really know like that.
Not somebody I don't know like it.
What you gotta say? He's like, I ain't got nothing to say. And they're like, okay, well, cool. Well, we went through your search history, too. And it turns out the next day, like the morning that we found Miss Tony's body, in your search engine, you were looking for stories of that exact crime. You searched, quote, a dead lady in the trunk of a car. And lo and behold, we have a dead lady in the trunk of the car, and you are a suspect for it. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. They're like, okay, that's cool. Well, we got a tip that you buried the bat in your backyard, in your mama's backyard. So just letting you know, there is a warrant out. People are digging up your mama's yard right now, digging up her rose bushes, her hydrangeas, all of that. Everything is being dug up. And he's like, good luck finding it. Mm. And they didn't find a baseball bat. I'll give them that. But they had a lot of evidence. And that digital evidence was enough to charge Jared with first degree murder. He was charged. They both sat in jail and they got ready to take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial. Tony's memorial service was held on December 28th, 2017. How hard? How difficult? I guess the family's already together, so you might as well,
right,
push out the service.
Leave back out in town.
You know, but how many people can actually come from your extended family and friends? Sad. Right after Christmas?
The edge's attorney, they work out a deal. She testifies against Jared. She'll plead guilty to armed robbery, hijacking a vehicle, and murder. Deja says, I'll take it. And on October 2nd of 2019, Jared goes to trial. Now, the prosecutors claim that Deja is immature, she's impressionable, she's homeless, she's desperate. So, of course, Jared was able to persuade her to do these things. Of course, he was able to convince her that this was a good plan. Deja gets up and she testifies about, you know, how Jared planned the attack, how it started off as just a carjacking, but then Tony ends up dying. She says, quote, he hit her until she stopped moving. After she stopped, we put her in the trunk, and it looked like she was alive but choking on blood, and then Jared hit her one more time with the bat. After that, Jared was found guilty of felony murder, armed robbery, aggravated assault, and hijacking a vehicle. He was sentenced to life in prison. Now, for this exchange of testimony, Deja gets 30 years for murder, 20 years for armed robbery, 20 years for hijacking, and she gets to serve this all at the same time. So, she's doing 30 years. She'll be released in 2047 at the age of 48 years old. She's currently serving her time at Pulaski State Prison, and Jared is at the Valdosta State Prison. We could really do a Pulaski tour. Like, we could just spend a day at Pulaski and just be like, boom, murderesses.
Let's see if all the bitches want to talk to us.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because it's the amount of times I've said Pulaski Prison.
It's a lot. Overall, a lot of people are really saddened when it comes to this case. It's one of those things that really just doesn't make sense. For people that knew Deja, they were just like, we could tell that Jared was bad, but we really didn't know how to articulate that to her. And we knew that she is
essentially good. And if she just didn't get wrapped up with him, she wouldn't even be in this mess. Like, she would be able to get back on her feet. Like, she was that type of person that persevered. She could have. And Tony's family, they were like, you know, if the woman really needed a place to stay, she probably could have just asked. And they were like, she probably would have gave her a couple $100 and said, hey, go find a motel for the night. Merry Christmas. Like, that was the type of person she was. She was like, she didn't owe you anything. And I think those are the scariest crimes for me. Like, right. I didn't wrong you. I don't owe you anything. I didn't do anything to you. I don't know you. I probably learned your name 5 minutes beforehand.
If I learned it at all.
If I learned it at all. I was probably currently in my mind thinking about what I was going to do tomorrow to bring you something to eat. Because I knew you needed that. And the fact that is the type of stuff that will get you killed is scary. I think that's the scariest part of true crime, is that sometimes you can't stop somebody from killing you.
Mm-hmm.
That's high-key terrifying to just think about. I don't have any reports if they're satisfied or dissatisfied with how everything turned out. Jared is in prison for the rest of his life, and De'Asia will be out in 2487. And that is the story of De'Asia Page. All right, y'all, it's time for...
Well, I'm not black. I'm OJ.
I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how I would have got away with it.
I didn't do it, but if I did, girl, I was never leaving my mama's house. And if I did, I should have hell would have went back after that first cold night.
I don't think that I would have left then, but as somebody that has been kicked out by her mother, they're in... circumstances, there's a lot of pride there. But what I did, especially those latter years of high school, everybody always said, like, the way they get out is to go to college. Like, just see it through. Yeah. Everybody was like, just see it through. This is a temporary pain for long-term progress. Like, just see it through. And if somebody would have just said, hey girl, here are the options for you to see your way through so that you can, you know, it's Georgia. You can use the Pell Grant. You can use Hope, because she was in Georgia. And, you know, Hope, anybody can get Hope to go to college. Like, here are the options that you have so that you can actually be out and have at least a nice landing ground to start a successful future. But you also have to want that. And I just feel like sometimes you have to really, a lot of the situations that I'm in that are negative, I always think to myself, like, there's something on the other side. There's a reason why it's happening. Even those arguments, and ain't no point was a nigga a part of it. Like, even at that time, like, for myself, like, my mom definitely did not like my boyfriend, but our problems were a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest differences is, one, y'all were not essentially arguing about a boy. And, like, your shit didn't hit the fan necessarily over a boy. You know what I mean?
True.
So, I feel like that's one of the differences. Two, at that last moment when you were kicked out at that 18 and finished with school, you did not return, but you, like you said, you did what you had to do to be housed, which was go to college. Like, you were supposed to leave for the college the next week. It was like, I have to go early because I need some place to go. You know what I mean?
No, it was pretty much that whole summer, though. Like, that whole summer I was house hunting, and then I had to give the key back. Yeah, I guess a couple weeks beforehand. Or house hopping, I should say, and then a couple weeks beforehand.
But, like,
so it was...
You were going back, like, every weekend just to grab clothes and clean up, or, like, every other weekend or something, and then it was back out. But, like, once you were out, like, once you were put out, you kind of handled it from there. And, again, it didn't revolve around a boy. It didn't revolve around somebody else making your life happen for you.
It was,
you know what I mean? And so I just feel like her decisions are a bit misguided, like, to drop out of school. Like you said, everybody was telling you to hold on. Like, girl, this shit gonna fuck up your scholarship. School is the way. So you can't drop out of high school. Like, you know, there's no plan behind it. There's no maturity. There was no sense in the decision. There was no forethought onto what happens now that I'm out. It was just, I don't want to be here, or I'm into it and it's what it is.
Yeah. I didn't do it, but if I did, I would have been like, babe, providing for me is not finding me a car. Providing for me is finding me a home. Even if it was like, I know this abandoned place. You can stay here.
What'd you say?
Got the old mattress from the basement. My mom said I could put a tent in the backyard. You just can't come in the house. Anything. Anything.
Yeah. If I ain't do it, but if I did, there's no way in hell I'm counting on an 18-year-old boy who lives with his mama to provide for me. Nigga, you're not even providing for yourself. You weren't even willing to come out here and struggle with me. You slept in a warm house in a bed every night while I sat here roaming the streets. And girl, that sat right in your mind. That felt okay. That felt like love.
Your standards be low at that age.
I mean, that's lower than low. Nigga, you have a whole home.
The bar is
and I am out here begging a nigga for an hour and a half in his car for some heat.
And why you ain't take that nigga's car?
Niggas threaten to call the police on me every day because I just want a sandwich.
Why you not bringing me leftovers of your mama's cooking?
What's the problem?
But he got pretty eyes. In your eyes I can see where my heart longs to be.
I ain't do it, but if I did, I told that nigga he fucked up as soon as he started beating that lady. If that wasn't the plan, then nigga, that wasn't the plan. Oh, hell
yeah, push him off. He not finna hit you. I don't think he would've hit her. Like, you know, some people you'll be genuinely scared, like, oh, if I intervene, he's gonna do something to me. I don't think he would've pushed his ass off. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Like, right. That ain't what we talked about, bruh.
Cause I'm all alone. There's no one here beside me. My problems have all gone. Sad. All right, I think I don't have any more. Parole or no parole?
30 years feel right. I see what you do with your life. You need some direction. Do some good. I hear you out. I'd let her be eligible. It really just depends on what you do with your time.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's the end of the show. Let's read some reviews and go home. You can leave us a review anywhere, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can leave a review, I don't know, wherever you're listening. See if you can leave a review and do it if you like us. If you don't, send me an email. You can give me a review there and tell me about how much you hate me there in those circumstances. Now, make sure that you follow the podcast so that you can get downloads of our episodes and they can come right on your feed and you will be always updated every Friday. This one is from Nonchalant92. It says, OMG Taz, 5 stars. I love this podcast. Binge listening to it for the 3rd time. Oh yeah, I love Taz's voice. You go, Tazzy.
Thank you. Where is it? This one is titled Delectable. It's talking about last week's episode. He said, this week's episode, 8. 10 out of 10. My other favorite episode is the one with the old man with paranoia who worked for the government and the fake cleaning lady kidnapped him. The sound effects, the asides, Mariah singing, all of it. Another guy listener. I'm in college and I tune in every week from St. Louis. As my little dose of self-care. A friend told me about y'all and ever since I've been telling all my friends. Currently struggling through final seasons. Thanks for helping me get through with a break from essays. Hope you did well on your finals. Congratulations, school's over.
You've done it. You're amazing. Congratulations. Congratulations to everybody that's graduating. Oh, yes. My gosh. I'm so excited for you.
He said, shout out to y'all for doing the Lord's work and shedding light on issues with our legal, carceral, and social systems. wiping my face with a napkin because we're delectable.
Very cute.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. All right, that's it. This day is finally over.
I'm telling you, man. It's Friday. Half of y'all got paid today, okay? Mariah is turning 30.
Yo, that's woman. Right. I'm the youngest in my friend group, so it's fine.
It's really about time.
I'm 30.
May 6th, we'll be doing a birthday post, but where do they cash app you, friend?
Mariah will. Thank you.
Mariah will appreciate some dollars for her birthday.
Yes, Mariah will would.
Buy herself a drink with some of that money.
Yes.
Mariah will.
What do I do?
Have a good time regardless. Mariah will take the kind of jingles, but love the kind of folds.
Amen. Amen. And let the church say. Just kidding. All right, you guys. No, but for real, we also have some amazing things coming on. We will be at Crime Con. That is right. Crime Con at the end of May. We're very excited. We will be speaking Saturday evening, and the title of our talk, live recording, discussion panel. It's not a panel. It's just me and Taz. It will be called Where Are All the Black People? So if you're in true crime and you're a true crime lover and you're always asking, where are all the black people? Maybe our little chit chat is for you, and you can check us out at Crime Con in Nashville. If you do decide that you're coming to Crime Con, we will be so happy to see you there. You can use our discount.
Use our code.
That's right. SISTAS code sisters. Make sure you check it out. There are a lot of amazing things happening at Crime Con this year, and we're so happy to be a part of it and to be speaking on our very first year, because when you're that girl, you're that girl.
You're that girl.
You're just that girl. So you can check us out there. You can also get some amazing merch at shopsistershokill.com. That is shopsistershokill.com. Anything else for us, friend?
Talk to us, we talk back.
Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.